from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello once again and welcome in the Saviour's name. Our preacher today on the program is the Reverend John Gray, and he's bringing the second part of his message on God's wonderful salvation. But before we hear that message, let's listen to an old-time gospel favourite, I'd Rather Have Jesus.
Last week we commenced a series on God's wonderful salvation. We considered a number of points. First of all, the necessity of God's salvation. And we looked there and saw why man needed to be born again of the Spirit of God. Last week also we considered the simplicity of God's salvation. How that Paul told the Philippian jailer to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would be saved. As we take up our studies again, I want to draw your attention once more to this wonderful theme of God's salvation, as it is to be found in the conversion of the Philippian jailer. In Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31, we read these words. Verse 30, the Philippian jailer says, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul, in the next verse, declares, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It is great to know Christ as Saviour and Lord. Last week we considered what it meant to believe on the Lord Jesus. And we stated clearly that to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ meant to be born again of God's Holy Spirit. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There are two further points that we want to look at in relation to this wonderful subject. First of all, the reality of God's salvation. Salvation is a real thing. It is not something that has come from the mind of some preacher. It is not something that some great theologian or doctrinal teacher has thought up. But it is a real, everlasting, incorruptible experience with God. When the Philippian jailer turned from his sin and trusted Christ for salvation, he became a changed man. And we can see the reality of salvation in that the life of the jailer was changed. His life was changed in two ways. First of all, he was changed inwardly. We read in verse 34 of Acts chapter 16, "And when he, that was the jailer, had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." For the first time, this jailer realized that he had something that he never had before. Before this time, he was in his sin. He was miserable and burdened down with his iniquity. But now he is rejoicing, believing in God. His heart has been changed and his sin has been forgiven. Why was he rejoicing? Why was he believing in God? Because the Lord had spoken to him and showed him his need of salvation. And now, because his sins were forgiven, he is rejoicing in God's wonderful salvation. You too can rejoice in God's salvation if you would only come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice secondly that we can see the reality of God's salvation in the life of the Philippian jailer, in that not only was he changed inwardly, but he was changed outwardly. God had created within him a new heart. His scarlet sins had been made whiter than the snow. His crimson stained heart had been made whiter than wool. And within his heart and within his soul, God had wrought the miracle of the new birth. And he knew it. And he began to rejoice in the Lord because of the inward dwelling of the Holy Spirit. But his life was changed outwardly. He was a new creature in Christ Jesus. At the beginning of the story, he's taking Paul and Silas, he's casting them into the inner prison. He's putting their feet fast in the stocks. He is showing no mercy on them whatsoever. He is brutally manhandling them. But now that he's saved, now that he has received God's redemption, he is changed. Indeed, the Bible tells us that he's bringing them into his own house. He's washing their stripes. He's setting meat before them. His life is changed. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The Lord works a miracle in the heart of every sinner who comes and puts their faith and trust in him. Do you know the miracle of sins forgiven? Can you truly say that you're born again of the Spirit of God, and that your life has been changed through the power of the Son of God? Secondly, we see here not only the reality of God's salvation, but the urgency of God's salvation. We can see the urgency of God's salvation in this story of the Philippian jailer in two ways. First of all, the Philippian jailer there and then cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" He could have said to himself, "I'll wait until Paul and Silas are back in Philippi again." But he did not say that. He realized that salvation was an urgent matter. Therefore, there and then, he ran over to God's servants and cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" We can also see the urgency of God's salvation in this story, in that Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer immediately how he could find eternal life. Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Paul could have told the jailer to wait a few weeks or a few months or even a year. But Paul realized that this sinner needed redemption there and then. Thus the reason why Paul urged upon him the urgency of coming and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. The Bible tells us, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." God's salvation is an urgent matter. We must not put it off. We must not leave it until another time. The Bible says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." I pray that God will give you the grace to come and accept Christ as your Savior this very hour, this very moment, because the Bible declares, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." May God give you the grace to turn to Christ alone, put your faith in him alone, and trust him alone for your eternal redemption. And then you too, like the Philippian jailer, can rejoice in sins forgiven and can have the assurance now, before you leave this scene of time, that you're going to be in God's heaven for all eternity. May God bring you to himself.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.